6. I just want to throw out a few things this morning. I've got a sermon I've been wanting to preach for about 2 months, and I've got literally, or 6 weeks anyway, I've got 3 pages of notes on it, and the Lord just still is not letting me. I don't know if the right person isn't here or what, but so we're going to table that again today. I want to throw out a few thoughts to you, though, that God's really been stirring in me. And so y'all just turn to John 6. We're going to be, I'm not sure where. Let's just say verse 32 just for fun. Verse 32, John 6. Amen. How's everybody doing right now? Y'all good? Are y'all good in kingdom life? Are you excited about what God's doing? Are y'all excited about what God's doing in kingdom life in y'all's lives in this house? I am, T.W. I find myself just unloading on strangers. I'm serious. I met some people from Illinois last night for the first time, and we're talking with them, and we had an engagement party over at Stephen and Terry's. And I guess I can just say something about that, can't I? My niece Ashton got engaged this weekend. What seems like just a good, godly young man he's a med student at Duke, and he's a law student up there, so we're excited for them. They are very, very of like pursuit, and just feels like it's a total God thing, so that's cool, and we're happy for them, be praying for them, we're real pumped about that. I love the way God orchestrates stuff. Met his parents last night for the first time, and I was sitting there, and Lord, it wasn't 10 minutes into conversation, T.W., and I just find myself unloading on them, and I'm like, afterwards, I'm like, dang, that was kind of heavy, wasn't it? Because, I mean, I was just like, you know, dumping about miracles and about what the girl that got healed up in South Carolina and this, I mean, just like, I wondered why they kind of scampered to the swimming pool after about 30 minutes of it. It's like, oh, this is heavy. But I'm just super pumped about what God's doing. I'm super pumped about kingdom life. I'm super pumped about what He's doing on what would be a seemingly small scale in our lives, although we know that's global reaching. But I'm excited when I hear testimonies of people talking about hundreds of thousands of Muslims being saved right now. And, that excites me. And I see God moving on so many places, on so many levels. And, I'm thrilled about the influence that the kingdom that Jeff's releasing in the Philippines, and Grant's going to be releasing in Dubai after the first of the year. And so we're just super pumped about kingdom life. So we're going to just keep basking in that and flowing in that and taking the ebb and the flow in that. I want to encourage you, and as we look at this, we're really going to hit some things. I want to encourage you to take the moments with God as they come, because a lot of times they're needed. Usually, I did something yesterday I haven't done in, I don't remember the last time, but usually my days, I try to schedule them and squeeze in everything that I can out of every minute of them and all of that, and I don't know if that's an attribute or a flaw. I haven't decided that yet, but yesterday, I'd been in the hay field all week and got all the hay done here at Victory, and we were getting all that in the barn and worked on that yesterday morning until, about 2 o'clock, and I took about a 2-hour break and, just ate something and hung out with Lori, got in the swimming pool with my wife in the middle of the day on a Saturday, which is unheard of, and just took about a 2-hour break, and it totally refreshed me. Mentally, physically, the whole nine yards, and then 4 o'clock, I was ready to go again, and I was just like, that's great. And God began to speak to me in that. Sometimes that is His preference, is that over something that's super intense, super, we got to go after it, and we've got to be, down in the altar slaying dragons and delivering people and all that. Sometimes it's just I want a time of refreshing with you. And so I want to encourage you as we do this thing, and then we're in this, and I don't even want to say new season, this new way of doing life. I want to put it that way, because this isn't a season that we're going through and we're going to fall back into the normal stuff. this is a new way of doing life for us, to where it is presence first and foremost. It's in a love affair with Christ, and everything else is going to spin out of that. So it's a new way of doing life. But as we are in this, it is very important that we get and understand all of the little moments and nuances and things that God wants to do in our life. That's one thing that He has shown me just in the last couple months, that I'm going to come at you in so many different ways, and I'm going to do so many different things, and every one of them is me, but every one of them has a different purpose and all of this stuff. You know, we got back from Azusa, and I dreamed every night for 2 weeks, and then they quit. I hadn't dreamed since. You know, this week, Brett, God started waking me up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I knew it was a distinct invitation from Him. You know, thankfully He didn't yesterday and today. I ain't going to lie to you, man. I enjoyed sleeping until, 7:30. It was nice. But it was a distinct invitation, and the Lord said, "Will you accept my invitation? I just want to hang out with you," said, "before you start making handlebars. You know, I just want to hang out with you some." And God will come in these different things, and it might be a day, an hour, a season where He just wants to come in and actually get in the swimming pool with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that figuratively. But God wants to do these things, and it's not always a thing where I've got to run 100 miles an hour. Sometimes I just got to sit and be still with Him. And so get that for the longevity of this thing. I did not realize this about George Whitfield, but y'all know who George Whitfield is. Great revivalist preacher, 1800s. Just God used him tremendously in America, big time. But one thing that I did not realize about George Whitfield is he died at such an early age. And he died like in his late 40s, I think it was, early 50s, something like that. But the guy comes in and he would talk about all of these years, and he did it for years and years. He would preach like 5 sermons a day. And no wonder you died when you were 48 years old. Huh? Amen? And we would have probably been better off of a society if George Whitfield lived to be 90 instead of 48 or 50. Because it would have been a longer, more decades of releasing what God was doing through him. And so I want us to be a people, Randy, that we understand the significance. There's a time where we've got to flat out get it. I mean, we have got to intercede. We have got to just be, with a ferocity. We're on the front line, and we're doing this. We're in the altar slaying the dragon, or you know what I'm saying, whatever that needs to be. But then there are also times when we learn to kick back with the Lord and kick back with each other and bask in His presence in that, because the presence on both of those, one's not greater than the other. Even Jesus looked at the disciples. So if I can release a word to you this morning, is don't feel like you are ripping God off or diminishing what He's doing right now when He says, or it's in your mind, man, you know what? I need to, disciples, let's go retreat up in the mountain and hang out for a little while. Now, a lot of times the crowd will follow you, and it's going to be there, and ministry has to take place and all of that. But Jesus' heart was, you know what, guys? Y'all just went and cast out demons, and y'all did all of this ministry, and y'all were doing this amazing stuff. Now let's take a moment, not a prolonged season, but let's take a moment, and let's exhale. And let's just enjoy each other's presence. Enjoy the lightness. So learn to enjoy the intensity of the moment, but also learn to enjoy the lightness of the moment, all right? Because both of them are God. Both of them are God. If you want longevity, you need both of them. And I'm preaching that to me as much or more so than anybody. All right, John 6. Does this sound okay? All right, I've got water in my ear from swimming with the grandkids, and I feel like I'm in a 50-gallon drum right now. So if I get real loud or get real weird, y'all just throw something at me. John 6 is a very, very interesting chapter in the Bible. I think it's very significant to where we are right now as a people. And when I say as a people, I'm not talking about just Victory Fellowship Church. But I'm talking about what I see God doing. I feel like we've got a pretty good sense of what's what God's doing and saying in the kingdom right now. We're pretty well connected with a different variety of people, and I'm hearing a lot of similar things and seeing a lot of stuff that's going on whether it's in Kansas City or Redding, California, or Los Angeles, or Saluda, South Carolina, or different places like that. And so I'm really seeing God doing some just similar stuff across our nation. I hear reports global, and I see the same thing and hear the same thing globally, which is extremely encouraging. So I think that this is a very important word for us where we are right now and what God's wanting to do. This is the story of Jesus, and he goes up on the mountain with the 5,000. He crossed the Sea of Galilee. A great multitude followed him, and they went up on the mountain, and Jesus taught. The time got late, and his disciples came to him and said, Lord, we need to dismiss these people so they can go get something to eat. And he said, what do you have? And they said, well, this kid here's got the loaves and the fishes. And he said, bring that and let's feed them. And we know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, as we call it. After this, Jesus slipped away. He sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. A great storm arose. Jesus walked on the sea. They went to the other side. So we see all of these things happening in John 6, just a big, full chapter. They get on the other side the next morning, and the people realize that Jesus is gone. And the people follow Jesus, and they find a passage on ships and everything, and they go across the sea, and they find Jesus on the other side. And there's like, Jesus, you know, where'd you go, man? What's... we were kind of hanging out waiting on you. And then Jesus starts this great discourse on the bread of life. And just a huge, huge, powerful lesson that he comes in and teaches. And he begins to talk about, the reason you guys are following me right now is because I'm producing bread. I multiplied bread for you. I fed you. You're liking that, so you're following that. If you look in John's writing of this gospel, John says that the reason they came out and followed Jesus into the wilderness to start with is because of the miracles that they saw him do and they heard him do. So John says the people followed Jesus for the miracles. Jesus said the people came and told them, he said, y'all are hanging around with me and seeking me and follow me because I'm producing bread for you. So everybody's got this reason, and this is a large group of people, have got this reason of why they're following Jesus and why they came out and why they're doing what they're doing. And, you know, we want to look at this. Jesus begins to come in, and he begins to talk about relationship and him being the bread of life, and the only way that you're going to come to him is if the Father draws you, and that you've got to come in. He begins to talk about these hard sayings of eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and it just really messes with them. He comes and there's just this big separation here. And they really get tripped up by this because they think they're doing something really good. But he comes in and he says, okay, we've got this level of disciple, but I want to take this thing to a deeper level and to a deeper walk, a deeper understanding, a deeper level of relationship and covenant and all of that stuff. And so there's, I look at this and I'm reminded a lot of the book of Judges over in chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Judges, where God calls Gideon out. And y'all remember the story in Judges? God calls Gideon out and he's going to raise up an army to defeat the Midianites. And so he sends a call out and he says, who wants to come and help deliver Israel from the Midianites? And 30,000 people respond to the call. I don't know how many men were capable of warriors were in Israel at this time, but 30,000 people responded. We would say that's a yay God moment, wouldn't we? These men stepped up and all this, and God comes to Gideon. He says, dude, that's too many, because I don't want y'all to think y'all did it by yourself. And God can see through motives and see through heart and see through things and all of this stuff. So then he comes in and he said, let's narrow this thing up. And he says, ask the people how many of them. He said, I'm going to judge the people for you. And I'm going to narrow this thing up. So then he comes in and he says, okay, how many of you guys are afraid? And out of the 32,300 people that followed him, 22,000 people, I think, something like that, said, I'm afraid. He said, okay, y'all are dismissed. If you're afraid, go home. We would applaud their great courage and say, you know what, I answered the call and I came. I'm still afraid, but I came being afraid. We would applaud that, wouldn't we? And God said, okay, you guys are dismissed. This is not a question of heaven and hell that I'm throwing out here today, guys. This is not a thing of are you saved, are you lost, are you going to eternity, and all of these things. This is a thing of do you want it all? And I really see that is what God's trying to hook us on, Sharon, to where we say, you know what, I want everything. I want everything with you. I want it all with you. And I'm not just going to go through and say that I'm okay with this. You know, man, I'm going to heaven and I'm not doing all the bad sins. I'm like, I'll applaud that. That's good. But really, is that all you want? It's easier. Even these levels on these guys took some great levels of commitment and endurance and all of this. He comes in and Gideon dismisses the 22,000, and so he's still sitting here with 10,000 people, plus or minus. And he said, okay, now send them down to the brook. I'm really going to separate them. And send them down to the brook, and let's see how they drink. What difference does it make, right? And we know the story, and the ones that got down and lapped like a dog, and they were, you know, just sucking the water out of a creek. You know, I've drank out of a clear creek like that. But when your head's down like that, you are totally vulnerable to everything around you. And then there are ones that got down and they drank like this, and they cupped it with their hand, but they drank like this. And God said, okay, that's the ones I want. You know, and so think about this. Now, you're one of these 10,000 guys that said, you know what, I'm not afraid. I've answered the call. We're going to go defeat the Midianites. Even when God pared our numbers by 2/3 of the people and sent them home, I'm still good with this. Let's go get them. And God says, you know what? That's really not what I'm looking for. We'll appreciate it, guys, but check y'all later. How do you feel if you're one of those 10,000? Are you slighted, Randy? Will you come and say, what is up with this? You know, I'm willing to risk my life. I'm willing to. But God comes in. He says, but you know what? That's still not what I'm looking for. And I look in this John 6, and I see a great parallel right here. Because I see Jesus coming in, and Jesus has got these multitude of people that followed him into the wilderness. Followed him up on a mountain. That's not the easy Christianity thing. They followed him to this place. John says they followed him because of the miracles that they saw and heard. And I'm not reading all this scripture right now, guys, because literally it would take us 45 minutes to read all this scripture, because there's like 42 verses that pertain to this. But John said that they came because of the miracles. Is that not a level of faith? I'd say yes, that's a level of faith. That's a level of anticipation. That's not, oh, we want to see a dog and pony show. If you want to see a dog and pony show, you know what you do? You wait for it to come through your town. You don't chase out into the wilderness and look for it. And then when you get out there, you listen to hours and hours of teaching. The day was far spent. Jesus would get up there and he said, man, let's lay some stuff out here. And the people would sit and listen to him. Wait, man, they're skipping lunch. They're going into the late evening, and they're like, we got to dismiss these people. We have no lodging, and we have no food. So these people were hungry enough. They wanted to see something. They came with an expectation and anticipation of something. And even so, that when Jesus left the next day, they got up and said, he's not here. And somebody said, he went on the other side. Let's go over there. And so they go get find shipping, and they go over to Capernaum on the other side, and they find Jesus teaching in the synagogue over there. And they make this trek over here. We would applaud that in the modern church, wouldn't we? Would we not? We would say, man, these guys are committed Christians. Not only do they come on Sunday morning, but they're here on Wednesday night also. Right? Isn't that the standard for the American church? If you come on Sunday morning and tithe, you're good. But if you come on Sunday morning and tithe and come on Wednesday night, you are sold out. Amen. Isn't that the standard that we put? That's the standard we put. And it would be like God coming in and saying, I'm glad you're here every Sunday morning, and I'm glad you tithe, and I'm glad you're here every Wednesday night. But you know what? That's really not just what I'm looking for. I liken the two on this. So these people come in, and we see these things about them, that they're chasing after God. They're coming. Jesus said, you just came because you're following me because I made bread for you. I multiplied bread for you. And so you come because I'm adding these things to your life. I'm helping your marriage. I love God because He helps my marriage. I'm helping your finances. I love the promises and principles of God on finances. You're doing this because I'm helping you in this area relationally, or that area, or that area, or that area, and that's the reason you're coming. How many of you come to church because it adds value to your life? People will leave church because they feel like it is not adding proper value to their life at that time. I've had people leave and say, well, I'm just not getting fed anymore. Like, my job is to spoon feed you every week. I've had people give me that reason why they stopped coming to Victory Fellowship. They'll come up and say, brother, I just ain't getting fed anymore. I think it's time for me to go to a different pastor. I don't know if they meant pastor or pasture. You know, but they are no different than the person that's coming in and saying, Jesus, we're following you because you multiplied bread. And so a lot of times we find ourselves engaged in a church life, and I'll keep saying American church because that's the only church I know, but we'll come in the American church and we'll find ourselves engaged in that because of all of the things that it adds to my life. It brings this, and you start the list of what it brings to you. But I'm convinced, and I'm getting more and more convinced, that in itself is not what God is looking for. That is not what God is looking for, okay? That can be a hook that will get you there. The miracles can be a hook. I'm personally praying for the prophetic right now. I'm seeking the prophetic right now because I know that can be a tremendous hook. And God's been moving in that area, and I'm digging that. He's given me visions and words and stuff like that that I'm open and willing to share with people and all that. And I'll probably miss it. I'll whiff some. I know I'll whiff some. But there's going to be some home runs in there too. So I'm trying to learn to hear God's voice, and the Word says to covet to prophesy. So I'm really wanting to get it because I know that is a hook. But that is in itself. How many I have spoken words over people that their life is an absolute wreck right now, and I know that word came straight from the throne room. I've stood in this pulpit and I've stood in this altar and I've declared stuff over people's lives that I knew was God's heart for them, and their life is a train wreck right now because they decided that they didn't want to receive or walk in the Word that God had for them. All right? So just coming in and just the hook is not enough. The hook's not enough. Adding value to your marriage is great. Adding value to your relationship with your peers around you is tremendous. God correcting your finances is great. That'll help you to be able to sow into the kingdom and bring effectual change in, I shouldn't say effectual change, maybe momentary change in somebody's life to help them, give them a hand up. Those things are great, but that's really not what God's looking for. How many of you are familiar with the old-timers used to, and I say old-timers, I guess I'm easing into that category now myself, very reluctantly, but how many of y'all have ever heard your grandmother or somebody talk about a young man that's in love and say, well, you know, he's just smitten? Y'all ever heard that phrase? We think that's an antiquated phrase, don't we? It's a biblical phrase. It's a King James phrase, smitten. Y'all know what it means when they say he's smitten? That means that boy is so in love with her, he's done for everything else. You look up the actual Hebrew meaning of the word smitten, because it is in the Bible several times, and you know what it means? It means it is to be killed, to strike something or kill something. And if we would take it in that phrase and come in with that meaning, basically what it means is whoever is smitten is dead to everything else. Jeffrey, when you got smitten over Tammy, you were dead to every other girl at Harrelson County High School. Because something about her smote your heart, smote your mind, where it's like, I'm done. It's everybody else, I'm done. Totally off the market, disinterested, everything else. That I am smitten over this person. That's what God's looking for. God's not looking for somebody that's going to come in and say, ooh, I dig the miracles. I want to go there because of the miracles. If that's a hook, I hope we have crazy miracles here. I long for those miracles because miracles are usually a byproduct of presence. All right? I hope your marriage gets radically changed. I hope your finances get radically changed. I hope your horizontal relationships get radically changed. But you know what those things are? They are simply a byproduct of something else. It's a byproduct of presence. It's a byproduct of relationship. It's a byproduct of I am smitten with Him. The thing that we're going after more than anything else is presence in our life. That's what we're going after. As a church, that's what we're going to go after. Sometimes it'll look like four altar calls on a Sunday and no word whatsoever. Sometimes it'll look like intense worship where we're wallowing around in the floor and spinning and singing in tongues and everything. It'll look like that sometimes. Sometimes it'll be we'll come in on a Wednesday night and we'll open up a Bible and say, all right, guys, we're going to spend 50 minutes just studying the Word. Sometimes it looks like we're going to gather around somebody and we're just going to intercede for somebody. That's what it'll look like. But we are going to go after presence because that's what God's looking for. That's what He told the woman at the well. He said the Father seeks that. He is actively seeking that. I find it interesting in John 6 right here, and I'm going to read some scripture in a minute. I got y'all there so y'all feel good about today that we actually studied the Bible some. But the thing about John 6, it's almost like Jesus is coming in and saying, let me see how I can weave these. It's so similar to Judges. These guys came out for looking for a miracle into the wilderness. He didn't pat them on the back and applaud them and say, man, it is so awesome that y'all followed me out here. I'm impressed. Or the fact that they followed him across the sea the next morning. They paid somebody to carry him across the sea in a boat the next morning because somebody said Jesus was on the other side and they took the hour journey or 2 hour journey or however long it took them to get across the Sea of Galilee and they found him over there. That's persistence. You would think that would be worthy of applause. But the Lord said, the only reason y'all were doing this is because I made bread for you. It's almost like he's trying to discourage a large following. That's not the case. The thing is what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, that's not what I'm looking for. He is looking for somebody that'll fall in love. He was looking for somebody that'll look up into his eyes and be smitten by his eyes. The adulterous woman or the woman taken in adultery. I recently heard a powerful, powerful teaching on the woman taken in adultery. And you know, y'all know the story I'm talking about where Jesus gets down and he writes in the sand and everybody always, y'all probably heard 38 sermons on what y'all think he wrote in the sand and all that stuff. You know what this minister said? He said, the reason he got down there at the sand, he said, that's where her eyes were because she was downcast and she was a place where she was slung at their feet. He said, that's the only place where he could look into her eyes. Yeah, he wrote something that convicted the Pharisees, but he really wanted to get down there so he could get eye level with her and he could look into her eyes. Because that's what he was after, and that was her eyes. Because that was in the soul of her heart. And he said, if she can look into my eyes, then it'll penetrate something into her and it'll cause her to fall in love with me. And I'm like, yes, that's it. That is it. And so I look in this John 6, and as I study this and get in all of this, and God's coming in, and He's saying, all of this stuff is great, but it's really not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that will be smitten with me. Somebody that will fall in love with me. And then everything else will spin out of that. Amen? I've got a sermon that I want to preach out of John 6, and it's who still wants him. And it's talking about all these things where he comes in and he's trying to almost discourage you. I mean, you know, he comes in and he talks, does this and talks about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And they're like, ooh, this is a hard saying. We can't handle this and all of that. But some still want him. You know why? Because they're in love. How many of y'all found out about some, ungraceful habits that your spouse has after you married them? Anybody? Matt's got both hands up back there. Oh, Michelle's up. Ooh. How many? Did some of you? You're still married though, right? Today. And you know why you're still married? Because you fell in love with her. You didn't write down a list of all of these things and said, you know, let's see, let me make a list. Is Michelle a keeper? And I've got a list of pros and I've got a list of cons. And if the pros outweigh the cons, then I'm going to say yes to her. And if you chose your spouse or made the ultimate decision on your spouse based on that, you're a train wreck waiting to happen. Because there will be a day when maybe the cons, they're a little bit weighted more than the pros. But we come in and we find out about these things, and it doesn't matter because we're already hooked. We're already hooked. And it's a thing where the Lord gave me a word for Zyler the other day on fishing about being gut hooked. Any of you that ever done any fishing, just worm fishing is what I'm talking about. If you've done any worm fishing, you know what I'm talking about. I'm getting gut hooked. That means that you're runt for everything except consumption of the one that catches you. You are runt for everything except for consumption of the one that catches you. No matter how big you are, you're runt for everything else. And the reason that I find this to be such an encouraging message this morning, listen to me, this is important, because we have had people come in here, and they still come in here on a periodic basis, and they've made the statement, is I love coming here, but it's intimidating to me. I'm serious. We've had conversations with real people, I'm not speaking figuratively, we've had conversations with people, and they say, I love coming here, but it is intimidating to me, because I come in, and I see people that have been doing this thing for 30 years, and they seem like they're so passionate for God, and I just don't know if I can do that. They've committed so much to this. It's like they've committed their life to kingdom, or committed their life to church, that's what they relate it to. And they made the statement, I don't know if I can do this. I got news for you. You can't. I can't. George Whitfield couldn't. None of us can. That is not what God's looking for. The beauty of what He's doing right now is not, I want to find the people that are ultra committed. Because these folks were headed in the right direction. They were leaving the comforts of the synagogue. They were going up into a mountain. They were listening to Him teach and preach all day long. They were in a place where they said, I don't know what I'm going to eat. I ain't know what we're going to do. We're going to go and all of that stuff. And He came in and He said, that's still not what I'm looking for. The awesome thing about what's happening right now is, you know what God's looking for? He's simply looking for a people that says, you know what? I'll fall in love with you. I just want y'all to fall in love with Him. I just want you to fall in love with His eyes. We come in modern church. You know what modern church is and what modern church... You study models and principles of modern church growth, and you know what it is? It's how great a programs we can have, how nice a facility we can have, how slick we can make everything, how convenient we can make everything. Can we get you in and out in an hour and 5 minutes? And can we do all this stuff to make it comfortable for you and your life? And if we can do that better than the church down the street, then you know what? We'll get your attendance and therefore we'll grow. That's true. My wife just said, that is true. I've been in that. I've experienced that. I just sat in that last week. Week ago Sunday. That was my experience. A week ago Sunday, I sat in that. And God says, what I'm really looking for, though, is encounter. If we can do that and have radical encounter, that's great. I'm not against any program. I'm not against any coffee shop. I'm not against coming in and saying we need to have 3 services a day and all of that stuff. I'm not against any of these things as long as we can have genuine radical encounter. But if we never get to a place where we look into His eyes and are smitten with Him, I don't want anybody to fall in love with Victory Fellowship. I don't want anybody to fall in love with Lori or Pastor Sid or anything like that. I want them to fall in love with Jesus because that's what's going to change their life. If I can be a hook in that, that's cool. But I am not the end result. The end result is we want to get you grafted in Him because that's what's going to change you. And the end result, that's what He's looking for in you. He just wants you to fall in love. So He'll come in and He'll start talking about all of this hard stuff and they're like, this is a hard saying, who can see it and all of this. And you see John in this. Let's go a little bit. Let's read a couple verses and I'm going to come back in and I'm going to tie this up real quick and shock y'all this morning. Verse 56, He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That's some rough stuff. If you preached that sermon today, people would be like, ooh. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He taught this in the synagogue. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I'm not even going to bring up the topic of heaven and hell. I'm not saying were they saved or were they not saved. Did they reloop and do better later on or whatever? It's just sad to me that the last 2 years of Jesus' ministry, they weren't around. Sonny, I don't want to miss what God's doing right now. I don't want to miss what he's doing right now. I'm excited about it. I'm just glad that he's letting me participate in it and be part of it. I'm glad he's visiting me. I'm just excited about that. I don't want to miss that. Then he looked at Peter in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, not just Peter, will you also go away? It was so bad, everybody was gone, so they were flocking out so hard that he looked at the 12 and he said, y'all going too? Sounds like a whittling down from 30-something thousand to 300, doesn't it? He looked at them and he's like, they're like, Lord, we followed you up here. Doggone, I chartered a boat and went across the Sea of Galilee to come see you over there. And then you said that's not what you're looking for? And you start talking about all this crazy stuff? I can't do this. And so they didn't follow him anymore. I don't know if they were saved or they wasn't saved. I don't know if they started, pick back up with Peter and the apostles, later on, two, three years later in the first century church. Perhaps they did. I hope they did. I hope they're in heaven one day. But I guarantee you if they're in heaven one day, they're going to say, man, I missed it. Because it wasn't what he was looking for. Wasn't what he was looking for. And then listen to what Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's the thing. Peter got it. And you know why Peter got it? He said, the reason I'm staying, God, has nothing to do with bread. It has nothing to do with miracles, but when you talk, something leaps in my spirit. And I've never experienced that before. When you talk, something leaps in my spirit. Hope arises in me. Faith arises in me. Mercy and grace arises in me. I see the portal of heaven open up through your eyes, and it's like I'm looking at the Father. And I have never, that's not found anywhere else. Therefore, you know what? You hooked me. I am smitten by you. I'm dead to everything else. And so because of that, I'll follow you anywhere. Because of that, I'm not going anywhere. Because of that, I have nowhere else to go. I am rent for everything else. I'm rent for everything else. And so you know what the Lord says? That's what I'm looking for. That's what I want you to tap into. It's what God wants you to tap into. That you look into His eyes and you see way past the surface, way past the miracles, way past, oh, that's cool, God did this, and it's cool what God's doing in my marriage, and I dig that and all of that stuff. But I want you to fall so in love with Jesus that it's like, my yes is to you, and it doesn't matter about... When I made promises to Lori in the altar 30-something years ago, 2016, 33 years ago, when I made promises to her, I didn't promise her anything other than the fact that I will love you and I will honor you and I'll give my life for you. I didn't promise her a 3,000 square foot house. I didn't promise her a Lexus. I didn't promise her a swimming pool. I did not promise her anything because I did not know what the future held. All I promised her is that I love you and I am committed to you and you have got my heart. And you know what? She deemed that was enough. Because she said, if I've got that, I've got everything else. If I've got that, I've got his work ethic. If I've got that, I've got his checkbook. If I've got that, I've got the, for better or for worse. If I've got that, I've got everything else. And so she said yes to the fact that I said, this is what I have to offer. And that's all God wants to do. I gave Michaela a word about 3 weeks ago, and I said, I asked her, I said, Michaela, have you ever been in love? And she says, no. And I said, boy, that's a good answer. TW will love hearing that answer and all. Jamie was standing there, so her mom was right there. And she said, no. I said, awesome answer. You know, your age, that's great. That's what we want to hear. But I said, do you know the difference of loving somebody and being in love with somebody? And Jamie was standing there, and I said, I love your mom, and I love Jamie Oding. But I said, but I am in love with Lori Garner. And I said, do you know the difference? And Michaela's like, yeah, I get it. I totally understand the difference. We love God for what He does for us. We love God for who He is. I love God because I love her because I think she's an awesome person. I think she's an awesome woman, an awesome wife, an awesome mom, and all. I don't know her. I don't know if she snores and all of that stuff, she does. But I love her because of all those things. But to take it to the next level is when you fall in love with somebody. And that is what God is looking for, is for a group of people that will fall in love with Him. All right? You say, what can I do to ride this wave? What can I do to chase the rest of my life for this thing? Fall in love with Him. Don't love Him. The church has loved Him for too long. Let's fall in love with Him. Y'all get that? That's it. That's what He said in the book of Revelation. He said, return to your first love. Return to your first love. That's His whole thing, and what's going on is there's a narrowing going on. I told somebody the other day, and maybe I worded it wrong, I said there's a big division that's going to be taking place, a dividing, a separation, I think is the word I used. I said I really see a separation coming on, and it's not a separation of sheep and goats, but it's not even a separation of who's committed and not committed. Because I want to tell you something, guys. There are a lot of people that are more committed than me. And God said, that's awesome, but that's not what I'm looking for. He said, what I'm looking for is somebody that will fall in love with me. That will fall in love with me. And so that's the thing that He wants us to look past and look into. Look past the hands, look into the eyes. Look past the hands and look into the eyes. Okay? Two little stories. John said they came to see Him because of the miracles that He did. Jesus said that they stayed because of the bread that He fed them, which was physical. Both of these are inferior and inadequate. If you fall in love with church life or fall in love with a church, that is an inferior and an inadequate love. If you fall in love with Victory Fellowship, but you do not fall in love with Jesus Christ, it is an inferior and inadequate love. Because that has the capacity to diminish, because it is inferior and it is inadequate. If you fall in love with my ministry, you fall in love with my teaching, you fall in love with whatever, it is inferior and it is inadequate. But it's when you fall in love with Him. I put God could use these as a hook, but they weren't the prize. He was and He is. It has always been and always will be about His presence. It has always been and always will be about His presence. Jacob paid me the other night. Jacob and I were down here talking Wednesday night after church. And he paid me, and I don't even think he realized it, he paid me the biggest compliment that anybody has ever given me. We were having a birthday party for Zealand over at the house Thursday night, and Jacob and Stephanie were coming and bringing their daughter over and everything. And Jacob and I were just talking. He said, well, I'll see you tomorrow night. We're coming to the party. And I said, well, that's cool and all that stuff. It's always good to have you guys over. He said, we always love coming to y'all's house. He said, because y'all's house feels like here. Y'all's house feels like here. And you know what that is? It's not because we're good hosts. It's because it's the same presence at our house as is in this place. And that's because somebody fell in love with God and they said, you are welcome and we want this love to be here. And our house doesn't feel like here because me and Lori love each other. Our house feels like here because we are in love with Him. And we carry that home with us. And that messed with me. That did. That messed with me. He said, y'all's place feels like here. Can you say that about your house? Hard question. Can you say that about your house? It feels like here. I know this is weird, but I've been kind of praying, God, let us, I want to smell you. I want a fragrance in this place. And we've had that before. We've had seasons where moments I said, I want to smell you. I want to smell that at my house. I want to smell that in my quiet time with you. I want to smell that. He just wants us to fall in love. You know, you can be a broke, immature, unqualified teenager and still fall madly in love, can't you? Right? Some of you were that person. You didn't have a plan. You didn't have a clue. You didn't have any qualifications. But something got you and you fell in love and you were smitten for everything else. That makes you a candidate for the kingdom. I don't want to come across with what God's doing right now and for anybody to think that this is an elitism thing and God's got certain people that He's going to reveal Himself to. When I talk about God waking me up in the morning and wanting to have visitation with me, it does not make me any more special. It just makes me somebody that fell in love. And brother, you're 13, right? 14? Sorry, I didn't mean to slight you. You can do that too. All you got to do is fall in love with Him. That's the only thing that made me special is I fell in love with the right person. That's it. I fell in love with the right person. It has nothing to do with anything other than the fact I fell in love with the right person. So I want to break down any barrier that you feel like's there. You feel like there's this huge wall and I can't get past this wall because I didn't fly to California like Brother Sid and spend money and go to this and invest in and all of that stuff. I'd never want you to feel like that when I talk about these things. Because it's not about I went into a desert and I listened to preaching all day and then I went across the sea. God said that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for somebody that'll fall in love. I'm just looking for somebody that'll fall in love. Somebody that'll look into my eyes. And that's the hope for every one of us. That's hope for 10-year-old Zyler or 65-year-old whoever. That's the hope for us. That's the hope for us. So let's stand to our feet. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to finish with this story. Lori was ministering to a homeless lady a couple weeks ago. And she said, I spent 20 or 30 minutes with her. She said, when I first came up to her, she was wanting to bombard me with her story and this is why I'm legitimately have need and all that. And Lori kind of stopped her up front and she said, look, I got $20 in my pocket. That's all of the cash I've got and I'm going to give it to you. So let's get that out of the way to start with. The woman's trying to show her documentation from her medical report. She was HIV positive. She had AIDS. And she's like, here, I've got this, son. Lori's like, I'm going to give you $20. That's all I got. I'm giving you $20. But let me just stop and talk to you and minister to you and all of that stuff. And Laura said she went to hug the woman. And the woman said, I've got AIDS. And Laura said, I don't care. What I've got in me is greater than the AIDS that's in your body. So Laura said she just began to hug the lady. and just speak life over her and pray over her. And, of course, the woman was crying and Lori was crying and all of this stuff and everything. You know what the woman needed? She needed a Savior that would look past circumstances and the fact that the woman's shelter in Carrollton's always full or this and all of these things. And would look into her eyes and say, I see your sin. I'm not intimidated by it. My love is more powerful and my love sees through that. And to reach into her life and said, here's what I am looking for. Somebody that I can pour my love into, that'll receive my love, that'll fall in love with me back. See, he's already done his half. He's already fallen in love with you. He fell in love with you before the foundation of the earth. It wasn't after Sonny came out and turned cool. He fell in love with you before the foundation of the earth. Mark, he fell in love with you a long time ago, brother. And that didn't change anything in our life. Any screw-ups I have in my life didn't change. He fell in love with me a long time ago. He was smitten with me in creation. I love the fact God created everything. He said it was good, and then he created man, and then he created Eve, and he said, it's very good now. It's very good now. He fell in love with that. So now he's just wanting you to look into those eyes and fall in love with that. That's what this whole revival is about, guys. That's what this whole move of God, this is what South Carolina is about. It's what Azusa Now was about. It's what Bethel's, everything that's happened Bethel's about. It's what's happening right here. And we've had some high-intensity, crazy services in the last couple months. We've had 30 people got baptized one Sunday. We had 15, 20 people get baptized in the Holy Ghost one Sunday. We had all these people over here pray for healing that same Sunday. We've had a lot of awesome, awesome stuff that's happening right now. But you know what the root of everybody, every bit of it is? He just wants somebody to fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with him, you know what you want? You want his presence. I told you about when I fell in love with Lori, how crazy it was. Stupid, I couldn't think about anything else. Before cell phones, I would get a 10-minute break, and I'd be working at the grocery store at Food Giants. You know what I'd do? I'd put my quarter in the phone. I would call her up. Hey, baby, I'm on break. I get two of them. I'll call you twice. You say, that's sappy, Sid. I'm sorry, that's what love looks like. Leave her house at 11:28 because I had 11:30 curfew and I had 4 miles I had to burn up. I was an 18-year-old boy and I still had 11:30 curfew. Thank you, Mom and Daddy. I'd make 4 miles in 2 minutes. I'd walk in the door. You know what I'd do? I'd get on the phone. I'd call. 770-562, don't even 3945. I think that was it, wasn't it? Still remember it. I said, what are you doing? She said, you left 150 seconds ago. Doing the same thing I was doing when you left. You know what? You said, man, you stupid, Sid. It serves us well now. It serves us well now. Because she got me. She got me hard. Smitten, dead to everything else. And something happened in me a few years ago. He got me. I got saved in the mid-80s, but a few years ago something happened. He got me. This morning I'm not asking you if you're saved or lost. I don't care if you've been saved 15 years. That's great. That's glorious. But does he have you? To the point, Noah, that, hey, God, what are you doing? I just saw you 150 seconds ago. I know, but I miss you already. All the guys are like this, and all the girls are like, oh. Does he have you? Does he have you? Does he have you? I'm not asking if you're saved, Terry. I'm asking, does he have you? I'm not asking if you'll go to Kenya on a mission trip with me next year. That might not be what he's looking for. He wants you, though. He wants that call. He wants that love letter. He wants the fact that that's all I think about. I get two breaks today, and I'm going to call you on both of them, God. Because I miss you. I can't wait to see you. He got you. He got you. He got you.